Thank you for downloading this New Zealand Sports Radio show. We have a new way that you can support us. There is a link in the notes down below where you can make a one-off donation to New Zealand Sports Radio. Thank you for support and enjoy the show.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Driving Mall Show. Hi, I'm Paul and I'll be your host this evening, and it looks like I'll be flying solo. I know I said that last week and then Steve joined me, but this week I really do think that is what's going to happen. What are we going to talk about this week? Well, we've got a bit of rugby championship game play happened. Let's be honest, that'll be the main topic of conversation. We'll also have a look in at, on how the semi-finals of the Farah Palmer Cup went at the weekend, and the latest round of NPC action as well. I had my daughters on the weekend, so I didn't get to any games the weekend, so no interviews this week on the show, I'm afraid. Next weekend, though, I will be getting to two games. I'll be going to Waikato on the Friday night for their game against, and I've gone blank as to who they're playing. On the Friday night against Auckland. And then on Saturday, I'll be catching the County's Manukau versus Manawa 2 game, I think. Or I might head along to North Harbour versus Bay of Plenty. But I think I'll probably hit the County's game there. In that one, definitely, we've also got a Ranfurly Shield Challenge this weekend coming up as well. So busy. Before that, though, on Wednesday night, Tasman will take on Wellington, but we'll get into our NPC chat later because I think we will kick off with the Farah Palmer Cup. Actually, let's do the Farah Palmer Cup, then the NPC, then we'll finish off with the Rugby Championship. Keep the big stuff to last on that one. So in the Farah Palmer Cup, and it's going to be a quick one here because I didn't get to see the semi-finals, but a couple of most... You would. I've been saying all along that Otago and Hawkinson this one. So Hawke Bay seeing off the 28 to 9 point. So it's a 2-score win there in that one. And then Otago Spirit beat North Harbour 2-7. Go really are the team to beat, and you expect them to sell Hawke's Bay this coming weekend and gain themselves promotion to the Premiership for next season. In the Premiership, then Canterbury saw off Wellington 31-3, a comfortable win there after a similar win that they got in the regular season. They beat Wellington away from home 5-43. So no big surprise there with that one. However, Waikato versus Auckland, Waikato at home, clearly, and also reigning champions. So I think you would have expected them to have come through would definitely be the favourites in this one, having beaten Auckland 41-5 earlier in the regular season. As it was, Auckland won this one 21-26. Now, that sounds like it was close, but Waikato did score a converted try after the hooter. It was 14 at 26 there with the time up. So well done to Auckland in that one. Really was a really good win there. They got themselves out of a good lead in that first half, 3-12. Waikato came back into it to take a 2-point lead, only for two converted tries. To see Auckland home there in that one. I say that late converted try and made the scorecard much closer. So Canterbury hosting Auckland then in the final after Otago Spirit hosting Hawke's Bay. First up on Friday. I think they're both down. Actually, the times actually been announced yet. But so Otago against Hawke's Bay, and then Canterbury versus Auckland this coming weekend. Good evening, Simon Hughes, who has joined us in the live chat. Oh, I've done all this sort of stuff beforehand, shouldn't I? But that's it. That's basically a wrap up of the Farrah Palmer Cup finals this coming weekend. Both of them down in the South Island. We're here on Monday at 8 p.m. every single week. You can catch us on New Zealand Sport Radio, see on a Facebook page, also on YouTube, or you can watch at Driving Mall on Twitter. That's where I hang out during games, if you want to chat to me during the games. Also, if you can't catch us live, you can listen to the podcast. So for New Zealand Sport Radio on your favourite podcatcher, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, all those sort of places you can find us. For all of that kind of stuff. So Simon mentions that the Rugby Europe Super Cup is starting this weekend, and also we've got some the Rugby Sevens World Cup this weekend as well. Obviously, being a world rugby event, it'll be on Spark Sports, not on Sky, as you might normally expect to see your rugby, or the HSB 7 series on Sky as well, isn't it? So, being a world rugby event, it's over there on Spark Sport. So that's all of the stuff that is coming up. Moving on to the NPC then on Friday night, two teams that are struggling. Let's be honest, Manawatu losing to Tasman at 26-36. Unsurprising there. Manawatu having a horrible season. This season, and at least got some points on the board, but they are now six losses from six games with just that solitary losing bonus points so far. That's Tasman's second win of the season, and they've got to turn around quickly because they're playing Wellington on Friday night. Now, Wellington, they played on Saturday, getting a good win over Southland, 28-41. So, again, it's not been a great season for Wellington. They've been a bit up and down, three wins from their five games. But Southland, a bit like Manawatu, have lost every one of their games. So tough one for the smaller unions it has been. And Southland has still got their storm week to come. We've been seeing some encouraging things out of Southland. So it's a bit of a surprise that they've managed to pick up even a win yet. So hopefully they will do at some point. Upset of the round, Northland beating Auckland 23-22. First win in a long time for Northland over Auckland. So cracking win for Northland. Means that they're on a fantastic season now. Four wins and just that solitary loss so far for Northland. That loss coming against Waikato, who are the reigning champions, from last year. So, look, cracking start for Northland. Up against wins against Taranaki, let's be honest, not been great. Wellington, I've talked about them, have already been up and down, and then Southland. So, Southland has lost all their games. So, look, they've not had the hardest schedule, but still, wonderful start. It does get harder for Northland now with Canterbury coming up next, so we'll see if they can continue that good form, because Canterbury have been trucking very well. They beat Hawke's Bay 32-28 on Sunday, so again proving to be the team to beat, not only in the Farrah Palmer Cup but also in the MPC as well. I think I missed out on that Taranaki 6-21 Taranaki. Last year, cracking season. This year, not so much. It's amazing. It's interesting how, look, with these NPC squads, they are pretty thin. So you can lose a couple of players, or if things don't quite click, you can be in a lot of trouble very quickly. And Taranaki, after winning every single game last season and having a tough one this year. Otago 27, Bay of Plenty 33, cracking game there, that one. Two sides that that have been going decent this season, and sitting now third and fourth in that odds pool in that on that side. So important win there for Bay of Plenty, which sees them climb above Otago in the standings to be just 2 points behind Hawke's Bay. Now Hawke's Bay have already played their had their storm week, so Bay of Plenty with a game in hand could climb up to second in the table. Then the final, I think we've run through the final game there. North Harbour beating Counties 37-12. Two teams basically running with that 50-50 kind of scorecard. North Harbour now 3 from 3. Three wins, 3 losses. Counties 2 wins and 3 losses. And as I say, I'm thinking they should pick up a win this coming weekend against Manawa 2, which will put them on that 50% or 50-50 ranking there. So quite a few teams winning and losing in this, with just those couple of teams struggling in Taranaki with just the 1 win, Southland, and also Manawa 2 without any wins at all. So those 3 teams struggling, everyone else kind of getting their wins. Tasman, underperforming from what we'd expect in recent seasons. We've got the big provinces at the top there. Waikato leading the odds pool, with followed by Hawke's Bay and Bay of Plenty. Canterbury ahead of Auckland, and Northland there in the evens pool. So Northland, you've got to say, the real overperformers so far this season in this one. Bay of Plenty was beat Otago Colour Steelers. I guess blue and yellow and all of that kind of stuff. Don't understand the full history around some of that kind of stuff. So I also didn't watch that much. Had my girls this weekend, so it's been a light eye on the old rugby. In this weekend coming up, I'll be at Waikato versus Auckland on Friday night. We've then got some, it should be a cracker there. Two teams going well at the moment, but in different pools, sides of the competition. Hawke's Bay defend the Shield against Southland. You expect Hawke's Bay to pick up that one quite comfortably. Then on Saturday, North Harbour versus Bay of Plenty. Two teams having pretty decent seasons. Another one there in that one. So that should be a cracking game. Counties versus Manawa 2, as I say, I'll probably be at that one. Counties probably pick, I'm expecting them to get a comfortable win there against Manawa 2 for their season. Tasman versus Taranaki, two sides struggling. Tasman at home, you'd think, should have the upper hand, but remember, they're coming off the back of a game on a midweek game against Wellington. A good opportunity for Taranaki there to ratchet their second win of the season. Wellington then via Otago. That'll be a tough one for Wellington, having had that midweek game. Otago having a decent going okay. And then one of the games around, Canterbury versus Northland. Not one you'd say was a game of the round ahead of the time. But with Northland going so well, it'll be interesting to see how they go down there. With Waikato and Southland, the two sides that are on storm weeks. So Waikato will have to back up after playing Auckland, and Southland having to back up after that Ranfurly Shield one. So in that one, will that affect how the games go this weekend? Probably not, because you've got to say Waikato, one of the stronger sides, Southland one of the weaker sides. So you'd see Waikato probably you'd expect them to concentrate on the Auckland game ahead rather than the Southland game, thinking that they can make changes and still get that midweek win there in that one. Perhaps a bit unfair on Southland. I do like the Stags, but let's be honest, they haven't been going great. So that's how that's the NPC side of things. Now let's get on to the games I did watch, which was before I touch on the Rugby Championship games, we did have some international action on the women's side of things at the weekend. England continues to show that they are one of the teams to beat through the Rugby World Cup, beating USA 52-14, the Red Roses there. And then France beating Italy 21-0. So the two favourites for the Rugby World Cup, you've got to say, picking up good wins at the weekend. This coming weekend, we'll see Italy versus France, a reverse fixture in Italy, and then also Scotland taking on Spain as well. So a couple more fixtures there, a couple more warm-up fixtures before the Rugby World Cup, obviously, that's going to happen here in New Zealand. So on to the Rugby Championship then, and the men's rugby from the weekend. The All Blacks coming off the back of that loss to Argentina, or the Pumas, lost Pumas, the first ever loss to Argentina on New Zealand soil there with that one. I'll see a lot of pressure on the team and also on the head coach coming into this game. Look, the All Blacks still came in as favourites and at a wet, and it was a wet Eden Park, got off to a cracking start. Knocked over a penalty, but then Havili chip and chase got led to De Groot sliding over. And by half time, it was 24-3. With Argentina picking up a yellow card as well, seeing Lavanini head to the sin bin, you got to say from there this was always from there it was a long way back, a cracking performance by the All Blacks. As I put the show title today, when they're hot, they're very very hot, but when they're cold, they're freezing, aren't they, this season? It's been a weird old season for the All Blacks. When they win, they tend to win big. When they lose, well, yep, it goes the other way, doesn't it? If you think about it, the All Blacks this year, even in that first Ireland test, 42-19, big win over Ireland before losing the next two, 12-23 and 22-32. So, by 11 and 10 points. Then beating losing to South Africa 26-10, but then winning 23-35, pretty big win. Then this loss to Argentina, then bounced back 53-3. So, when New Zealand hit their straps, boy oh boy, do they hit them. But it is very much hit and miss so far. Talk obviously of coaching changes during this year. And I'm sure, don't want to rehash all of this with New Zealand rugby. Did they manage as well? Did they not manage it well? Process and all that kind of stuff. But Jason Ryan coming in ahead of the South Africa tests, and now Joe Smith coming in ahead of these the Pumas tests. Now this should obviously be a settled head coaching team heading onwards with the next game up on the 15th of September. So 2 weeks time. Week and a half time, sorry, because it's a midweek game against the Wallabies for the opening Bledisloe Cup game. A Thursday night game at 9:45 New Zealand time. So a bit of a strange one there, having that midweek test for the Bledisloe. Real up and down by the All Blacks so far this season. As I say, they were in cracking form in this game, and all the stats kind of went their way. 495 meters running compared to 297 by Argentina. Possession territory just slightly in their favor, just over 50% on both of those. But turnovers conceded by Argentina, 14 to 6 by the All Blacks. If you're giving up that many, giving the ball back that many times, it's going to be a real problem for you. But the stat here that probably shows what the difference was last week to this week is in the tackling. With the All Blacks 86%, and Argent, the Pumas, 87%. Last week, those were in the sort of 96 to 98% mark. And it just shows you here that if you're going to miss your first up tackles against the All Blacks, they've got the players and the skills that they will exploit those and score points. Six clean breaks, four, seven tries in this one. Cracking game by the All Blacks. And as Elvi says, Argentina didn't even get into this game. He asks why the Bledisloe Cup is on at on midweek. Simon points out it's about Australian broadcasters to avoid clashes with AFL and NRL sort of getting its finals time in those two. So they decided that they would play it midweek instead. On that one. LB says all teams except France have been inconsistent. I'm not sure that Ireland's inconsistent. They did have a big loss to the All Blacks in that opening test. So I guess you could argue they've been a bit inconsistent, but maybe that's down to getting off the plane, etc. That one. Nocturnal Rights says, the All Blacks front row is delivering with it. Foster was forced into picking them. Yeah, look, there's been... it was interesting coming into this game that we had pretty much same starting 15 as the first game against the Pumas. Now, I'm not sure that that is sustainable. I don't think you can play your first choice team in every single game. And that's three games on the bounce with no changes to that starting 15. Bowden Barrett and Brady Vitalik came onto the bench. But I say starting 15 was the same. Got to be... from that point of view, I'm not sure how sustainable that is and whether it's going to wear out those players, but we'll have to see about that one. Yes, there have been some enforced changes. One of the things I've been that we've said in the show a few times is that what holds some players back is just opportunities, and I think people have been crying out for changes in that front row, and that Foster has been too loyal to a few of those front row players, and now that those changes have been made, and it's as you say, it is going really well for them. So that is the on the Puma side, they didn't get into this game at all. There's been a bit of talk about that post game Matera wouldn't shake Dane Cole's hand. And in theory, I'm a great fan of that what happens on the pitch stays on the pitch, and that you compete on the pitch and then your mates off the pitch. I do wonder, though, as to where that line is. How much do you forgive as you cross that white line as you come off the pitch? Does it just give license to grubs to play dirty? At the end of the day, and should you just be just forgive and forget straight away as you come off that pitch? I'm not so sure. So look, Dane Coles does play well, people say on the edge, air quotes there for those on the podcast, look, he gets involved in stuff, a lot of stuff off the ball that isn't necessary, that shouldn't be part of the game, or doesn't need to be part of the game, should I say. I'm happy for Matera to show his dislike of those things. I mean, other players, and look, I'm an England supporter, but Mauro Itoje is another one that gets that a lot, holding ankles, holding players back at in rucks and things like that, doing a lot of stuff off the ball that doesn't have to be part of the game as well. So look, I know all teams have.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I think you probably do need them. And all this sort of talk of spirits and kind of stuff in the game, all of that kind of thing. But there we go. Not sure much more to say on that. Actually, Rico Ioane had one of his best games in the as a centre. Obviously, a lot of people thinking that he doesn't pass enough and should perhaps go and be put back on the wing. But I think he had a cracking game at the weekend. David Havili got used a lot very differently in this game. A lot got involved as a sort of playmaking player, quite a lot. On that one, all these chips over and using his kicking game. Perhaps one of the best performances by the All Black centre combination there in midfield. Big question mark in amongst that for those two players. Let's be honest, if not as individuals, as a combination in that midfield in that one. So happy for them. Well done. Is Will Jordan being wasted on that wing? That's definitely a question mark. And should he be put into fullback? But then again, how do you accommodate Geordie as well? And All Blacks have got a history of playing players like Ben Smith and Israel Dak out on that right wing, haven't they? And Curry Jane before them. So it's kind of a very much an All Black way of doing things. Those are my last thoughts on the game by the All Blacks. Maurice Boas asks, what's the outcome from the meeting of New Zealand Rugby and Rugby Australia at Adelaide pertaining to Super Rugby? New Zealand going to bow down to the demands of Rugby Australia? Oh, dear me, look, if we say this about bowing down and giving in and blah, 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 look, there needs to be compromise. They need to realise they both need each other they need to work together and not against each other off the pitch. I don't know what the outcome of those talks were, I don't see it really as bowing down to Rugby Australia. There are definitely bridges that need building or rebuilding because they did get burnt down last year or the year before. There are bridges that need to be rebuilt, and I don't think that kind of language is going to be it's going to help on that one. So now we have to be still waiting to hear how that meeting went. Head honchos over there for the Black Ferns versus of the Wallabies versus Black Ferns game. That was part of a doubleheader with the Wallabies versus the Springboks. Second game on Saturday. Basically, that meant that New Zealand had won and lost against South Africa, won and lost against Argentina, and Argentina done the same thing. So were we going to see the same thing happen between Australia and South Africa? And as you already will know now, spoilers, yes, South Africa beat Australia to make this the tightest ever rugby championship. But looking at the game, to me, a lot of it was... a lot of the statements were made very early on. The Wallabies really did not look after their ball at all at ruck time, and it came out the back. Now, other referees might have said that the ball was still in the ruck when the South African players came round to snaffle the ball. But hey, the referee on the day said, no, the ball's out. Fair game, off you go. And so that's what you have to do. You have to You have to, what's the word I'm looking for? You have to play the referee on the day. So well done to the Springboks reading that with the ref. And that led to Delaney scoring under the post pretty early on. And also Philip getting a yellow carded for repeat infringements and also cynical play. That first half hour was pretty much all Springboks. 62% possession, 69% territory, but they were just not getting points. I did wonder if that was going to come back and bite them. As LB says, Box could have put 40 points on Australia if all chances were taken. Well, if, yes. But you have to take your chances. Dominating the game doesn't matter if you don't dominate the scoreboard. Now, South Africa did enough, as we'll see, but I'm not sure that the score. I think they dominated. It felt like they were always in control of the game. Looking at the stats, the stats are oddly very, very even. Run meters are 131 to 195, with off 93 runs and 94 runs. Territory and possession pretty much split down the middle. Missed tackles, pretty similar, 19 and 17, 10 turnovers each, 13 penalties each. So a lot of the stats are extremely even between them. The one big difference, was clean breaks. One clean break by the Wallabies, seven by the Springboks. And as LB says, they were getting a better balance in their game, and that's what we kind of saw in this one. Noctura writes, a lot of talent in the South African side. It would be nice to see it more often. Yes, absolutely. And is this, remember, there were eight changes coming to this game as well from the previous game. So a lot of changes on the South African side. Listening to, the South African podcast, and they were sort of opining that maybe that this is more about the Rugby World Cup and getting game time into players and building that extended squad and all of that kind of stuff, rather than necessarily about actually specifically winning these games. Now, getting the win, clearly they delivered on that one. It's clearly more clinical on the night. They didn't finish off some of their chances they should have done, or taking points they should have done earlier in the game. They got there in the end, especially when you think that Samu's try came on 78 minutes. By then, the game clearly was already gone. Now, a problem for the Aussies was definitely injuries in this one, with having a scrum half out on the wing in the second half. Had a 6-2 bench, so you could say they've only had themselves to blame for that one. But the 6-2 bench is one we're seeing increasingly across the team, across the teams. Interestingly enough, the Springboks have switched back from 6-2 to 5-3 for these games. Injuries clearly not just before the, I mean, also injuries before the end. Australia, the Wallabies are missing a lot of players coming into this. So a bit of an up and down performance from them. Shouldn't really come as a big surprise. And Dr. Wright says, looks like Aussies need a quick start, else they really struggle. Well, you kind of say that. And yet, if we just go back to their win over the Pumas, in that game, I'm just bringing up the sort of how the scoreline went. Argentina were up 19-10 at half time, and yet the Wallabies came back to win that one 26-41. So winning that second half 7-31. So I get what you're saying. One of the things I was looking, I had a feeling was that whichever team started well seemed to win games. But going through and looking back at the games, that's not always true. With Argentina obviously coming back and beating the All Blacks last weekend as well. So, yeah, obviously recency bias with a lot of that stuff. Simon Hughes says the casual fan side of me is very happy that the competition is very competitive and there's no clear frontrunner now. Yeah, it's cracking, isn't it? The All Blacks leading the table on 10 points and then all three other teams on 9 points, with the Wallabies in second place ahead of the Springboks and Argentina, or Los Pumas, at the back. Now, lots of confusion around why it was in that order, because the if we look at the table, on points difference, Africa have plus 12, whereas Australia are minus 24 and Argentina minus 27. But the thing is that the order isn't done on points difference. The order is done on the results from the teams that are on the same points. So basically you take out the All Blacks games and that tells you what the order is. So a bit of a strange one there. To nicely confuse all of the all the plans on that one. Yeah, Mapimpi got the yellow card. I'm trying to think what it was now. It was on the restart, wasn't it? Oh, but anyway, sorry, I can't remember what it was. But it's so happy for Moody, the 19-year-old, great debut. Yeah, look. A lot of people are making a big deal out of his try. Now, look, good try, well taken, don't get me wrong, but a lot of people are going, wow, what a fantastic try and stuff. Kuro Betty didn't get up and didn't jump for the ball. So he ran in, jumped for the ball, caught it, landed without anyone touching him and ran it in because Kuro Betty was trying to go for the ball and there's no other defenders. So, look, well taken, good try, but I'm not sure it was as wow as everyone was making it out to be, to be honest with you. Sorry. Just pouring my beer there on that one. So, so that was that one. Handbags, brawl, Paul. Look, there seems to be a bit of that on in in both games, wasn't it? I think also between the Wallabies. There was that particularly in that one, wasn't there? Anatar and Elizabeth. Look, I don't like it at all. My Pimpy, that's right, he put his hand down on the face of the player, didn't he? If it was New Zealand, you'd say different. No, I wouldn't. He jumped up, took the ball very well and scored a good try. I mean, it was a good try, don't get me wrong, but I don't think it was a wow try. If anything, the All Court game other try was more of a wow try, but there you go. Look, good start from Moody. It's Moody's ability to run straight after the lead. It's well taken, but as I say, there wasn't he had a clear jump at the ball on that one. That's right. It's people's putting hand on the player after stood over him and put his hand on the face, and then the Wallaby held on to his jumper, and then everything kicked off. There's no need for any of it. Again, how about we enjoy the actual play rather than what was going on there. That one. The other controversy that we've had in the on the subject was booing of the kicker as well in the at Eden Park between for the All Blacks versus the Pumas game. We had the commentator saying, "Oh, I don't like that," and then a whole bunch of people on social media. Personally, I've got no problems with booing the kicker. Look, in Europe. Not in Europe, in the UK, in the British and Ireland, UK and Ireland. Respect the kicker and there's no booing. On the continent, it gets a bit, that's not the same. There is booing of kickers in France. Different places have different cultures. If an Eden Park crowd isn't booing you, well, then they're not respecting you. You can tell that. So I've watched games with the All Blacks. They expect them to win. The All Blacks get in a bit of trouble or get being competitive against, and the crowd will start booing the opposition kicker and things because you've got them worried. And that's when you know you're actually doing well and you've got the crowd worried. So so yes, it is a sign of respect in some ways when you get booed by an Eden Park crowd. If the Eden Park crowd isn't booing you, as I say, they're not respecting you, and they're expecting you to lose anyway. So to me, I've got no problems with that. Different cultures and different behaviours, different places. I think it's good. It's good to have differences. If we're all the same everywhere, it would be really, really boring. Let's be on with you. Be true. As LB says, yeah, booze are part of Southern Hemisphere rugby. Simon says every culture is entitled to have a response to the kicker, and even and Waikato has a. Oh, sorry, it wasn't FNB Stadium, not Eden Park. We should have more cowbells rather than booing, but there we go. Being in the Waikato, there you go. Reminds memory of France people clapping, taking a kick in France. Yep, there's all sorts of different things. I'm happy to have different approaches and treatments, as long as it is not personal and not offensive. So booing, clapping, those sort of things are all fine by my, or silence is all fine by me. We've heard Southern Hemisphere kickers say how actually they find it unnerving when the crowd goes quiet, having 80,000 people at Twickenham all watching you dead silent while you're kicking is more unnerving than actually booing. So to me, if you give something, if you give the kicker something that they're not used to, there we go. Nick White got booed the first time he touched the ball. Yes, Nick White milked it, the previous weekend. So yeah, I can understand why some people aren't happy with his behaviour in that one. I do find some of the Northern Hemisphere fans are very classist, and they're very pushing for the quiet. There are definitely some people who are mightier than thou with all this stuff, and we see it a bit more in this kind of like rugby culture is such and such. Oh, rugby culture is XYZ. You're like, yeah, right, okay. We have a game that is basically, if you don't cheat, you don't win. It's a game that's designed for cheating, and then we complain when the referee gets it, when the referee misses things, and yet we encourage basically players to cheat the whole time. So, look, rugby values is all something else that people get mightier than might about as well. But if I head down that route, and that's left me a rabbit hole and a soapbox rant if I go down that way. So those were the a couple of sort of things on social media that people were having a go about, which is always fun and games. So I thought I'd just cover off on those. And I think that covers off most, if not everything, that I was going to talk about. Looking forwards then, do I think New Zealand will beat Australia twice? Look, you've got to say that Ian Foster is racking up a number of firsts, isn't he? Let's be honest. One of those could be losing at Eden Park, for example. But look, the Eden Park hoodoo is a massive one for the Wallabies. So it might come down to that first game. Look, I wouldn't be surprised if we had another win-loss by all of the teams, to be honest with you. There's been quite a bit of talk that the Springboks will be using the games against Argentina to blood some young players as well. So it could we could go into this with three wins and three losses by all four of the teams. It could come down to bonus points as to who wins it. So we'll have to see how Simon thinks they're going to lose in Melbourne, but win at Eden Park. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see that that happen, to be honest with you. This it comes down to, who of all of these got fit on the day. Look, they've been hot and cold equally, as have the All Blacks. So I could definitely see it split and shared, which would see the All Blacks retain the Bledisloe Cup. Losing that Bledisloe Cup, boy oh boy, that would be obviously a tough one. I think Foster would lose his job over that, whatever has been said. Wallaby star Topu under injury cloud for Bledisloe. Has anyone ever else heard of a player getting injured during a halftime warm-up? That one really did surprise me there. I don't think I've ever seen or ever heard of a player getting injured during a halftime warm-up. Pre-game warm-ups, yes, but not halftime ones. Strange one, that one. Topu, look, we want to have him back. He's an exciting player, great fun to watch. We don't see him getting injured. He's had a few too many injuries, and let's hope that his body doesn't hurt so much on that one. So, the All Blacks should win two against the Wallabies, but I wouldn't be surprised to see it split either way on that one. So when he got injured during the halftime, he usually just cycles during the break. So I don't know how he did that. So we'd never seen to see it, but we heard about it afterwards on that one. Kendall Coxey actually should hat tip. Fantastic player. We've said on this show at one point that she was the best rugby player in the world, male or female, in our point of view, a few years back, and she's announced that her retirement from rugby at the end of the season, and it'll be her 100th game against Canterbury in the final. For Canterbury against Auckland in the final. So, wow, congratulations to her on that one in the Farrer Palmer Cup. That'll be a very emotional day on that one. Obviously, she's going on to play at the Rugby World Cup as well before retiring. So, congratulations to Kendra Crotch on her career, and hopefully she enjoys the last few games that she has left. Just quickly just checking through some of the news things. That saying was one that I wanted to pick up on and talk about. So don't forget this weekend, next week, I will have those interviews. Now, I'll be picking up my parents in the airport at 6 a.m. on Monday morning. So as long as I can stay awake, we will be at 8 p.m. on Monday. If I can't stay awake, then it'll be I'll postpone it till Tuesday, but I expect to be back here at 8 p.m. on Monday next week. Thank you, everyone, who has joined me in the live chat. It's always lovely to have you there and to hear your views, have your questions, to chat with you. If you want to get in touch with me during the week, at Drive Mall on Twitter, or you can go to our Facebook page and use the support radio as well there. Stay safe, have a great week, and enjoy the rugby, folks.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.